Wonderful ladies, thank you very much. We've got a number of families that are out traveling around. Of course, the holiday, long weekend. We pray that they'll do well and be in the house of God wherever they are and be a blessing where they are. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, this morning. Go to Genesis chapter 2. I would say chapter 3, but Brother Colt picks on me about teaching too much from chapter 3, so I'll just go to chapter 2 today. That's true. Just the other day, he did. He's getting a little too smart for his britches, I think, you know. I would like to start off with a word that I pray will not be an offense, but it is a strong word. Fair enough? Pimping supposed reparations for millions of dollars each to gullible souls for cheap votes is without question one of the most disgusting behaviors in modern day politics. Yet one of the things more disgusting to me is the way in modern times our military has been manipulated and turned into liberal social experiments instead of allowing the men and women to do what they signed up to do, which is to defend the Constitution of these United States. Each one, including many right here in this very sacred room, have taken this oath. I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me, according to the regulations and the Uniform Code of Military Justice, so help me God. For those generations living today, especially at the top end of the ages, the greatest threat to our nation and our nation's security, and in fact world security, was the rise of the Nazi Party and that despot leader named Hitler. Just his name is a curse. It's a curse. You have to search hard to find someone, just one man. If you want to call him that, I'd call him an evil monster. Just one person who caused so much death, so much damage, so much carnage the world over, especially as it relates to our nation, than this man. Before Hitler rose to power, this idea of Aryan superiority rose, and from the very beginning it was a lie. For even the word itself, the use of the word, was long before it meant a certain people group, it had far more to do with certain language than anything else. So they even hijacked the term and redefined the term for their perverted use. Well, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Marriage, men, women. Satan has no new games, no new tricks. In the late 19th and early 20th century, some scholars like Houston Stuart Chamberlain, lived from 1855 to 1927, and others transformed the Aryans into a mystical race. Understand, I don't believe in but one human race. Okay, but I'm going to be giving you some things, some quotes here of people who would obviously disagree with that. They're wrong. And to a race that they claim were superior to all other races. In Germany, the Nazis promoted this false idea that glorified the Roman or the German people as members of the Aryan race, all the while denigrating many others, including but not limited to Jews, blacks, and gypsies. Nazi officials used this concept to support the idea that Germans belonged to a master race and everybody else were supposed to be slaves. Furthermore, they specified that non-Aryan applied foremost to Jews. Well, that was handy for them. Who were identified as the main racial threat to German society. But they did not stop there by any stretch of the imagination. These brute, and they were brutes, these brute masters stole from, raped, abused, and then murdered hundreds of thousands of their own people before they ever got started with the rest of the world. Hitler rose to power, of course, to be the spearhead of this movement of supposed superiority. That was one of the biggest lies of all time. The salute to Hitler was used in conjunction with the cry, Heil Hitler. Heil Hitler. Heil, of course, was the proclamation made towards Hitler, who propagated the notion of superior race and the fact that he was supposedly, genetically, physically, emotionally, mentally, the best specimen out of a whole bunch. The word comes from the Middle English and means healthy, sound mind, sound body. Well, that was a twisted joke on the people of Germany. After some study and contemplation, it's amazing to me in history that one so physically weak, undeveloped, and I'm trying to be nice, undeveloped, an inbred, sadistic, pervert, dysfunctional narcissist who would never even take his shirt off even to be examined by a doctor because he was so poorly built. Bad teeth. Records show that when he died he only had four. A drug addict. Taking over 82 drugs while in power. All the while claiming he was never ill, never sick. That was the man millions claim was their most sound example of superiority. All the while he privately and secretly being a social, physical, and emotional misfit. It was one of the best kept secrets in all the world. Kept often by swift murder of those who dared to tell the secrets. Before Hitler invaded Poland, started his conquest, he destroyed the town of his ancestry and destroyed all evidence of his family to keep everyone from finding out the truth about him and about his corrupted particulars. His family was well known for their incestuous relationships and much more. Yet he was the madman who led to millions and millions of people losing their lives. Millions and millions of non-military persons, estimated at over 20 million souls, non-military. 1 million were children under 18 years of age. Of course, the most notable and brutal was that of the murder of the Jews. Hitler wanted not only just their death, but their brutality along with their death. In other words, he wanted them to suffer the greatest suffering possible and then to die. He told Himmler that it was not enough for Jews simply to die, they must die in agony. and people say evil doesn't exist. What was the best way to prolong their agony? His lynchman turned the problem over to his advisors, who concluded that a slow, agonizing death could be brought about by placing Jewish prisoners in freight cars in which the floors were coated with quicklime, which produced excruciating burns. The advisors estimated that it would take 4 days for the prisoners to die. These were murdering, sadistic, wicked devils led by Hitler. Non-military deaths were just the beginning. Just the beginning. Military deaths, because of Hitler, just for the Germans, numbered 5,200,000. That's his own country people, his own people. They also died. Plus, the Nazis killed some 288,000 Germans, not counting Jews, homosexuals. They euthanized 173,500 handicapped Germans alone. If you were handicapped, you're going to die. Deaths directly caused by the war, including military and civilian fatalities, are estimated between 50 and 56 million people. With an additional estimated 19 to 28 million deaths from war-related diseases and famines, of which by war, 405,399 of those were Americans. Americans. Who stopped this madman and his lust for world domination? Who did that? Well, the U.S. and the Allied forces did that. Those nations who stood up to this world-menacing misfit, and many, many, many souls gave their lives for our freedom. The price has always been blood. It's always been blood for freedom. As Mr. Churchill, and I'll call him Mr. any day, so well said in part, quote, "We shall not flag nor fail. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France and on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatsoever the cost may be. We shall fight on beaches, landing grounds, in fields, in streets, and on the hills. We shall never surrender." God bless him for it. Many have fallen, especially during this time and since the Second Great War, and we honor them all. We honor them all. We honor the fallen on Memorial Day, and rightly so. Rightly so. Yet also directly affecting us, our nation, and all people is another event much earlier, which has cost even more souls the greatest of loss. You're already there in Genesis chapter 2. Beginning in verse 4, "These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth, which when they were created in the day the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Drop down to verse 15. "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. How about that? And brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That may need to be nailed to the halls of Congress. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now we get over to chapter 3, the narrative there that I'll leave off for Brother Colt's sake. We find that Satan, of course, slithered into the environment in the garden of God and tempted Eve, the first woman. She ate of the forbidden fruit. Of course, Satan's making false promises. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? False promises. There is a common thread to Satan's work in world history. He promised, you shall be as gods. Probably worth millions if it were true. She was deceived, the Bible says, and gave to her husband. He ate the forbidden fruit of the tree. What was the human cost? What was the human cost? The number of casualties down through the centuries. Well, I'll tell you, it was bad. It was worse than Mao, Genghis Khan, Stalin, worse than Hitler, Charles V of Spain, who even fed Aztec infants to their dogs, Leopold II of Belgium killed 10 million on the Congo, worse than all of these combined thugs. Satan slipped into the garden of God, tempted Eve, she, then Adam, ate the forbidden fruit. And that action caused all of humanity, not 10,000, not 250 million, but billions and billions. In fact, estimated to be, since Adam, to be over 109 billion souls into spiritual death. Born of Adam, and thus sinners. This is Satan's attack on God's creation of mankind, and it's the worst attack that there's ever been against mankind. God did not cause it, by the way. A lot of people falsely accuse God. God didn't cause it. He was not the tempter. He was not the one who said, yea, hath God said. He didn't say that. That was old Slewfoot. That was Satan. He was not the one who tempted Eve. That was Satan's work. Each one of these souls, the 109 billion souls, were created in the image of God, or if you like, the similitude of Adam, but each uniquely special in the eyes of Almighty God, humankind. God's special creation on earth, men and women. Who could stop this curse? Who could stand in the gap of this tyranny? Who could do something about the great loss of humanity on this planet? Humanity that had been cast headlong into sin and the wages of sin, which is death. Well, I invite you further to two additional passages in the Word of God for the answer to that question. The first is Romans chapter 5, and the second is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And what I'd like to do is I would like to just read selected portions from these two passages. And I'm going to do my best not to talk a whole lot about what we're reading. Now, I'll do my best. I'll make no promises. Because it's just kind of hard, you know, for a preacher to just hold it down. But I'm going to do my best. And the reason I want to do that is because what I want you to see, and especially want those of you who do not know the book of God, perhaps as well as you might, I want you to see this is not my thoughts. This is coming straight out of the book of God. And you can read it and you can discern just as much as another individual. Fair enough? Fair enough? All right. Romans chapter 5, let's begin in verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, that's Adam, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Not good works, not sacrament, nothing but Christ. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. That's Adam. For by the obedience of one, so by the obedience of one, shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. For where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto life, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Just read it. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'll begin in verse 1. The Apostle Paul, he writes, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you. I still hear some pages turn, so I'm going to go back. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, that good news, which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, that's the first Adam, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are of Christ at his coming. Verse 24, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So who could stop the death? Who could stop, without question, the greatest tyranny of all times to each and every and all humanity? Who could deal with that? Who could stand in the gap for all humanity that had been cast into sin? The answer to the hundreds of billions of souls is the King of Glory. He is the only one. He is the only one who can rescue us. He is the only one to whom anyone and everyone would have any hope. Since I was a lad, as Brother Houston would say, I was a young lad. Since I was a boy, these lyrics have filled my soul. I don't know if I can sing this right or not. Maybe I'll say it, maybe I'll sing it, maybe I'll do a little bit of both. I don't know. But these lyrics have, since the day that I heard this song, have filled my soul through the years. And to answer the question, who could possibly take care of this great need? He was born in a stable, his mother a virgin, raised in a carpenter's shop. His people were slaves. His parents were poor. His friends were a lowly lot. His chances in life were very slim. He's expected to be a slave. But people in darkness saw light in him, the hope of freedom he gave. All of the power of heaven and earth, God had invested in him. He's to die on the cross, descend into hell, meet the devil and take the keys from him. He yielded himself to the death of the cross, cried, "It is finished," and slumped to die. In the regions of hell, the devil celebrated. "We destroyed the king," they cried. In the midst of the celebration, footsteps were heard, walking the corridors of hell. The shouting stopped, and a voice rang out, a voice that rang like a bell. Satan did triple as he recognized him who came to deliver his own. Shut and lock the gates, he cried. Don't let him ascend to his throne. Then the gates swung shut in the face of the king to prove God's salvation untrue. But Jesus shook hell's gates and cried, lift up your heads, for the king is coming through. Then out of the devil's prison house came a procession led by the king, shouting, now, grave, where is thy victory? And death, where is thy sting? Who is the King of glory? The Lord God mighty in battle is he. Who is the King of glory? The Master of the host of heaven supreme. Who is the King of glory? The one that not even death could stop. Who is the King of glory? The little boy from the carpenter's shop. The little boy from the carpenter's shop. The little boy from the carpenter's shop. That special boy became a man. The Son of Man prophesied of old. His name would be called Wonderful, Mighty God, the Holy One, the Son of God, who would pay the debt of sin. Pay the debt of sin for us all, so that we might go free in eternal salvation, if we would only, repenting as sinners, receive the free gift of Jesus and what he did on the cross of Calvary to atone for our sins. For me, those who gave their lives for my freedom as an American, it will not be in vain. It will not be in vain. For me, Christ's suffering, his death, and yes, even his resurrection, shall not be in vain. I believe. And I believe one day soon, maybe today, he's coming back to take me away and all of those who've accepted him. Do you see him now? Let's stand.